This program is brought to you by Emory University.
The gospel reading comes from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Will you pray with me? A prayer that is based on one by Howard Thurman in Meditations of the Heart. While we wait in thy presence, search our spirits and grant to our minds the guidance and the wisdom that will teach us the way to take, without which there can be no peace and no confidence anywhere. Grant us the courage to follow the illumination of this hour to the end that we shall not lead death to any person's door, but rather may we strengthen the hands of all in the common tasks that seek to build a peaceful world. Amen. It's all coming to a head, isn't it? No, I don't mean the political campaigns and the race for the White House. No, I don't even mean the semester with all the unfolding papers that are due, the exams, and all the things that we are engaged in at this time in this semester. I mean that we have come, have we not, to the very edge of Holy Week. So quickly, Lent, as it were, is ushering us to the crux of our Christian pilgrimage. Lent, our period of walking with Jesus, the inward walk, the walk with Jesus. Lent is coming to the very last days of Jesus' earthly sojourn. In 3 short days, Palm Sunday will be here, and we will enter Jerusalem in triumph, following Jesus riding a donkey with the crowds chanting, "Hosanna, save now, Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And then it's downhill, isn't it? Downhill in terms of our earthly life, and perhaps uphill. Uphill to Golgotha, to Calvary, to the place of the skull. Downhill, because Holy Week in particular brings us face to face with human frailty in all its tragic and ugly reality. Discouragement, betrayal, fear, violence, cruelty, injustice, manipulation of mobs, vengeance, falsehood, intrigue, abandonment, distrust, killing, all a part of Holy Week. My meditations throughout this Lent, and permit me to, if you will, share my meditations around Lent this time with you. They have revolved around what lies at stake during Holy Week. Questions of faithfulness, questions of loyalty, and indeed questions of love. Love for God, and especially love of Jesus. Love, allegiance to Jesus in the face of difficult and indeed trying times. At the core of my question during this period of Lent, and the question that continues to drive me into Holy Week, is this: what does it mean when I say I love Jesus? I hear it a lot. I hear it as a way of defining myself and my fellows in the Christian faith. What does it mean? What does it mean when I say, I love Jesus? And I have been led to the very last encounter of Jesus with his disciples as recorded in John's Gospel. You remember that encounter comes after the death and resurrection. But it makes very poignant references to these days prior to their crucifixion, prior to the trial and the death, while also pointing to the future. You remember Jesus prepares breakfast for the discouraged band of disciples who had already returned to their secular employment as fishermen. After breakfast, Jesus turns to Simon Peter and asks him that ultimate question: Simon, son of John, do you love me? Three times Jesus speaks this question to Peter: do you love me? Must be really important if he repeats it three times, doesn't it? Of course, many commentators and many sermons, I'm sure you've preached this, point out the counterbalancing with Peter's three denials during the trial. I don't believe that this was Jesus' way of getting back to Peter, right? Yeah. In a kind of vindictive kind of way. You betrayed me. Do you love me? No. I think rather, perhaps, Jesus offers Peter the chance three times to affirm that which he had denied three times. The God of second chances gives Peter a chance to reverse what he has messed up. The God of second chances gives all of us a chance to say again, to reverse that which we may have messed up. So Peter is given a chance and an opportunity to affirm his love, just like he had disavowed even knowing Jesus. But friends, what is particularly significant for me lies not so much in the question and the repeated answer of Peter, but rather in the response of Jesus, in which he implies what loving him entails. And it's very important to me that a close reading of this text helps us to see that it's not simply a repetition of three things. Actually, the three things, the three action items, so to speak, the three implications that Jesus draws out are very different, although they sound like as if they are the same. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Each of these is significantly different in itself. Feed my lambs. You see, feeding is providing nourishment that facilitates growth. carefully and deliberately chosen nourishment that both satiates and stimulates growth. Growth in physical, spiritual, psychological, and social dimensions of our lives. So feeding has to do very much with carefully and deliberately choosing our nourishment, what it is that we give in relation to what it is or who it is that we are feeding. Lambs are clearly the young, the weak, the undernourished. And so the question that comes to me as I think about that first implication of loving Jesus in his words, do I look out for the lambs among us? Do I look out for the lambs, the weak, the young, the undernourished? And am I about seeking the kind of nourishment for them that is appropriate, but that also stimulates growth? Do I find appropriate nourishment for the weak, for the young, that will enable them to grow physically and spiritually? And then he says, take care of my sheep. Now, sheep clearly are grown-up lambs, right? So the lambs grow up. And they become sheep. Take care. Take care. Take care. Shepherd, tend. And that takes me immediately into the prophetic tradition about shepherding, about which we heard the reading from Ezekiel. Taking care, tending, shepherding entails strengthening the weak. It has to do with empowering. It has to do with healing the sick, so Ezekiel says. Healing the sick. Who are the sick among us? And what is illness? What are the different kinds of illnesses that people suffer? Do our minds go immediately only to physical illnesses? Or can we also think about illnesses of the mind and illnesses of the relationships? Illnesses that go far beyond the physical but have clear implications within the physical? Bind up the injured. How about those who are injured morally? How about those who are injured by the business of living that they have to engage themselves in? Bring back the strayed. Seek the lost. How about guidance? How about providing guidance? How about providing some direction? Take care of my sheep. And then feed my sheep has to do with providing appropriate nourishment for the grown-ups. Now, feed my lambs is very different from feed my sheep. The nourishment that sheep need is different from that which lambs do. The problem of the ancient Israelite shepherds was they were feeding and nurturing themselves at the expense of the sheep. Ezekiel and Jeremiah calls them out. You eat the fats, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. Giving baby food to grown adults is problematic. It's what actually I want to suggest results in stunted growth. And some of the stunted growth among us, in our churches and in our congregations, results from the lack of nerve that results in our giving baby food constantly to adults because we perhaps are concerned about keeping our jobs. Maybe if we were to give them grown-up food, we might lose our jobs because we think they all they need, all they want is milk. As a pastor to fellow pastors, beware of supplying baby food to grown-ups simply to keep your job in the church. In Matthew's gospel, we come across the teaching of Jesus in relation to in what is described as the judgment of the nations. You remember in Matthew 25, that picture of the end times when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him. He will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate people one from the other as a sheep separates, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, or these my brethren, you did it to me. I'm reminded of the hymn by Henry Van Dyke. They who tread the path of labor follow where my feet have trod. They who work without complaining do the holy will of God. Nevermore thou needest seek me. I am with thee everywhere. Raise the stone and thou shalt find me. Cleave the wood and I am there. Where the many toil together, there am I among my own. Where the tired workman sleepeth, there am I with him alone. I, the peace that passeth knowledge, dwell amid the daily strife. I, the bread of heaven, am broken in the sacrament of life. Every task, however simple, sets the soul that does it free. Every deed of love and mercy done to man is done to me. Nevermore thou needest seek me, I am with thee everywhere. Raise the stone and thou shalt find me. Cleave the wood and I am there. Every deed of love and mercy done to man is done to me. In John 12 and in the other Gospels, Judas and the other disciples complain about Mary's devotion, which is expressed in the lavish anointing oil. What the disciples miss is that devotion to Jesus is not separate and must not be removed from service to the needy. The two go together. In Matthew and Mark, Jesus declares this act of devotion on the part of Mary as one of preparation of his body for burial. By pouring this anointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. In other words, she has done this act of service to me in my time of need. She has ministered to my needy body. What is done for the needy is done to me. This is an act of service to the needy. It is love in action for the needy. In terms of love and service, the fact is we need both. Devotion to Jesus expressed in intimate love and worship, and service to the poor in acts of mercy. And time with Jesus, devotion, worship, prayer, is the source, is it not, of the energy, the grace that empowers service to the poor and the needy. Love, friends, is a matter of heart, head, and hand. Henry Nouwen, in that small but powerful book, In the Name of Jesus, says this: Christian leaders cannot simply be persons who have well-informed opinions about the burning issues of our time. Their leadership must be rooted in the permanent, intimate relationship with the incarnate Word, Jesus. And they need to find there the source of their words, their advice, and their guidance. Here at Candler, theology is a discipline that addresses the head, the heart, and the hand. The heart, in the intimacy and the lavish outpouring of the costly alabaster oil of devotion, in the time that we devote to worship and to prayer right here in this space. The heart, in the head, and the time that we spend in those rooms, in those classrooms, studying the word, studying theology, the papers, the exams, the languages, the exegetical papers, all of that. The head. And then the hand, where we serve. Feed my lambs, out there in our contextual education, where we serve, where we take care of others. But these three belong together. Something is lost if our formation is all about the head and not also about the heart. Something is lost if it's all about the heart and not about the head. Something is lost if it's all about the head and the heart and not about the hand of service. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. In a word, follow me. The test of your love for me is not about me. I am the person for others. The test of your love for me is about how you treat others. I am the person whose total existence is for others. The test of your love for me is about what you are prepared to do for and with others. My others, that is, all others. Hatred of any is a total denial of me. Hatred is completely and always a contradiction of faith. You cannot love me and hate anyone. In John's gospel, then, Jesus' last words are, follow me. Follow me, it will lead you into service of others. Follow me, it will lead you to nothing for yourself. Follow me, it will lead you to give yourself for others. Follow me, it will lead you to death. Follow me, there is nothing in it for you. Follow me, it's not for me. It's all for others. Follow me, I give myself for the well-being of others. Follow me, and you will give your life for the benefit of others. Follow me, I am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. Follow me, and you and those you care for will not lack any good thing. Follow me, you and those you care for will lie down in green pastures. Follow me, you and those you care for will be beside calm waters. Follow me, you and those you care for will have their souls restored and refreshed. Follow me, you and those you care for will be led in right paths. Follow me, you and those you care for, even though you walk through the darkest and scariest places, will not fear any evil. Follow me, my rod of discipline and my staff of guidance will together give you strength. Follow me, in the face of your enemies, you will have tables full of good food. Follow me, your head will always be anointed with oil. Follow me, your cup will overflow with grace. Follow me, kindness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Follow me, and you will live in my house all your life long. Follow me, love me. It's about caring for others. Follow me, love me, follow me, love me. It's all for the benefit of others.
The preceding program is copyrighted by Emory University. Please visit us at emory.edu.